So, as I was saying to begin with, welcome again. Sometimes you get, when you're a speaker, you've got all these things on your mind, and you've got, you know, it's like, I should have wrote in there, worship. That would have been a good clue for me, right? It's okay. You got a prelude before we got to this part, right? So transformed, that's what this whole conference is about. And it's something that I felt like the Lord really impressed on my heart that that's what he has for us. He wants to transform us as women. And it's something that I feel like every year when we come together, we're going to take one step closer and peel off one more layer that needs to be removed or put on something that needs to be put on. Amen. So just come expecting. And that's one of the things that when I was preparing for this, I said, God, I know a lot of things about love, but I don't want people to hear what I know about love. I want to know, what do you want us to learn about love? You know, and so there were some things I learned this week when I was studying, and I've been studying for weeks, but for me, I'm one of those people that I like to do it toward the end so it's fresh on my mind. You can only write so many notes, you know, and it's like when you're reading things, the Holy Spirit will bring back when I'm speaking things that I've read, and it'll be just, so that's what. So this week when I was studying some things that we're going to be doing tomorrow. I was like, I didn't know that. What? So when you come into any type of service, you should always come in going, Lord, I want to learn. Because you'll learn if that's your heart. Amen? And so tonight we're going to be talking about love. And the very first thing that we're going to be covering in our conference, there will be three different parts to this. But the first part is God's love for me. So there's three different things. We're going to talk about God's love for me, our love for others, and finally, our love for ourselves. And so those are the three categories that we're going to be covering. But tonight's love is about God's love for me. When I was praying about this, I was thinking about different ways of coming at it, and the Lord brought back for me a story about Everly, and it was with her glasses. And it was last year when we were doing all the homeschooling at home. And goodness, I don't know, I must have gone days without cleaning her glasses. But when you're juggling six kids, trying to get everybody, make sure everybody's got their Wi-Fi and everything, you know, you miss things, right? And she came to me one day and she's like, I just can't see. I can't see. And I was like, well, your glasses aren't on. She's like, no, I can't see. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. She's like, can you just clean them? And I was like, oh, okay. She handed them to me, and I was like, yeah, I bet you can't see. I'm telling you, there were splattered things. There were thumbprints, like peanut butter. I mean, it was like I was scrubbing her glasses to get them clean, despite the fact that we're not even sure how she did it, although during that time frame, she studied a lot in our living room, and we have a fireplace, and so it's a brick mantle type thing, and she kept putting her glasses on there, and that's the only thing we can figure out. But there were scratches. I'm like cleaning them, then I'm holding them up going, how have you been seeing anything with these? Well, they were working for a while. I was just waiting for you to clean them. You know, I love her. So that's what the Lord brought to my remembrance, was that story. So God's love for me, the lesson tonight is about keeping your glasses clean. Because how many people know things happen to your glasses and they get dirty? And if you don't clean them, then your vision is going to be impaired. It's not going to be correct. Amen? And so when we think about love, people throughout history have tried to define it, describe it. They have tried to tell us what it is and what it isn't. And people, I mean, you've got poets. One of my favorites is Shakespeare. And okay, for a second I looked at everybody and lost it. But it's a quote that love is not love that alters when alteration finds, or if you're a Sense and Sensibility fan, or bends with a mirror to remove. Oh no, it is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. That's the extent of my ability to be able to bring that one to you. But Shakespeare tried, right? And then you have your songwriters, all right? How many people are Dolly Parton fans? Yes. All right, yes. I know Whitney Houston stole it from her, but this is hers. And I will always love you. Will always love you. course, it's a couple octaves down. My voice is not, you know, what Whitney's was, so we bring it down a little bit. Or if you're an Olivia Newton-John, we'll go back a couple decades, right? I love you. I honestly love you. If you're a country fan, right? I'm gonna love you forever, forever and ever, amen, right? Yeah. So people have tried and they've tried to tell us what love is, right? But one problem is that if you're gonna try to define what love is outside of God, you are never going to be able to get it right. For those of you who have your Bibles and are taking notes tonight, you wanna write down 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16, and this is the most important thing that you're going to hear tonight about love. And this is what this verse says in it. It's very simple, three words. God is love. So if you're a mathematician, this is what you're going to have. You're going to have a God equals love. Or it's interchangeable. Love equals God. So if you're going to try to define what love is outside of God, then as we can see throughout history and through many people's lives and tons of Hollywood videos and songwriters, love is going to fail, right? Because you can't get it right without the Lord. So love is a powerful thing. And as I was saying, love is what God wants to transform our lives with. Love is what he wants to bring to help us to fly to heights that we've never known before. But the most important thing that we need to do when we're talking about God's love for us is we got to keep our glasses clean. Because try as she might, Everly could not get her homework done because she couldn't see. And when she said she couldn't, I wish I'd have taken a picture, because when she said she couldn't see, she truly could not see. It was like fog, scratch, smudge, splatter. I mean, it was a mess. But you know what I've found in life is a lot of times that's what people's perspective of God is. They're trying to look at God's love for them through glasses that are smudged, scratched, splattered on, foggy, because how many people know things happen in life, right? Just like for Everly, things happen. Peanut butter sandwiches, actually for her is probably Nutella. It was on her fingers, and that was what it was on her glasses, and who knows what the spit things were and the marks and the fog. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she tried to clean them herself, you know? But sometimes that's what happens in our lives, is that how we see God becomes distorted. And so the first thing that we need to talk about is unclear vision. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says this: "Now we see a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face." And poor reflection means obscure, uncertain, unclear. And mirror in this case, how many people have been to the state parks now? And they have these fabulous new mirrors that they have in there. Have you seen them? They're metal. They're metal, and they're highly polished, and that is their version of a mirror. But actually, it's not a new thing, it's an old thing. That's what mirrors used to be back in the day. They were highly polished metals, and that's how they saw themselves. So is a highly polished metal, are you going to get a clear picture anyway? No. So you're talking about the verse saying, now we see a poor reflection as in a mirror. Because nowadays we think about that and go, poor reflection? No, I can see pretty good in a mirror. But back then, it was true. It was a poor reflection. I've been in those things before. And you know that your hair is a mess. And you know there's things on you. But you are looking in this thing going, you know, everything's warped. It's like you can't even really see. And that's the point. Is that's a lot of times how we're seeing God. It's a poor reflection, where it's unclear how we're seeing him. So with our poor reflection, we need to keep our glasses clean. Because as long as we're here, we're still going to be seeing things not as they truly are, right? Because it says we will see for sure when we're face to face. But until then, it's like those state restroom mirrors. It's still the highly polished metal, so it's still going to be blurry. Now you add on top of that Everly's glasses. How in the world are people able to see the truth about God's love for them? They can't, right? That's why we have to keep our glasses clean. The smudges that can sometimes happen with our glasses are untruths of who God is. How many people have ever heard it? And if you saw headlines recently, one of the top articles was about one of our state governors, and he used the expression, the big guy upstairs. That's a misconception. He's not the big guy upstairs, right? Because that gives you an image in your mind, right, that you see. But it's not God. That's not who he is. It's a misconception. Even though you're like, well, it's not that far off. It's a smudge. It's something that's altering you from truly seeing who God is. Another misconception is God's the one that's just waiting for us to make a mistake and whack us. How many people ever heard that? I've heard that so many times. God's just waiting for me to make a mistake. I just want to tell them, well, then you don't read your Bible very much, and you definitely don't read the Gospels, because the Gospels teach us that Jesus only did what his Father told him to do. And when the woman came that had been caught in adultery, he wasn't the first one to lift a stone. In fact, he made a comment that made everybody else leave. And what do you say to her? No one else has condemned you, neither do I condemn you. It's the Son being a reflection of the Father. So if the Son is walking on earth and that's his heart, then you know his Father's heart is not waiting for you to make a mistake so he can whack you on the head. But do you see how these little things, these little twists, these little spittle that's on your glasses, they alter how you see who God is and his love for you. Sometimes it's life experiences. Something happens, and more often than not, God gets blamed. How many times you hear, even on the news, you know, this natural disaster happens, and it's, what'd you say, Rose? Say it again. It's an act of God. Okay, time out. He put the world together, and he set it spinning, and then he gave it to us. Amen? But so often we're so quick to say, when something happens, why is God doing this to me? Oh, glasses are a little foggy. Because when I look at the New Testament again, and you say, Shelley, why do you keep going back to the New Testament Jesus? Because it says he was literally walking out the heart of the Father. So if you want to know what God's heart is, then you can look at his Son, and you can tell an awful lot about who God truly is. And if that was the case, then why was he the one going around doing good? Why, if it was an act of God, why was he the one healing the people of sickness? But God put that on me to teach me something. If God put it on you to teach you something, why in the world would Jesus come and heal it then? Because then he'd be saying, he'd be stopping God's lesson. Do you see how just a little tiny bit off? And all of a sudden, we don't see God for who he truly is. And then there's religious thinking. There's things throughout history. I can remember when it was totally taboo for you to go to a movie house. You couldn't go to the movies. You couldn't go bowling. You couldn't wear pants if you were a girl to church. I remember those days, okay? Religious tradition. God wants us to be poor. There's too many verses. If God wanted us to be poor, why in the world did he send the Magi to provide for Jesus and his family? Mary and Joseph were doing great on their own. They were already, I mean, they weren't poor, but they were already lower, not lower income, but you know what I'm saying? They were already where they should have been. So why would Jesus be given all these gifts from the Magi to provide for his family and I believe for his future, for his ministry? Because we've talked about this in the past at church. When the Magi come, when any king comes to another king, it is camel's worth. It's not one little box, one little thing here, one little that. No, there were camel's worth of myrrh, camel's worth of frankincense, camel's worth of gold. Okay? That's how it worked in those days. It would be an insult for a wise man or a king to come to another king without. So why was that? If he needed to be poor to be able to live out his life here for the Lord. No, do you see how just a little bit off, right? It gets us in this place. And a lot of these concepts came from the church. I remember studying in Bible college and we were studying Catholicism, and there was a point in the Catholic Church, not today, but back in the day, where they were telling people that they had to pay to get into heaven. I was like, I was reading my textbook going, I'm sorry, what is this? Just what? Teacher, I have a question. Is this real? And they would pay for certain things because they didn't have the Bible, so they had to listen to the priest. The priest knew everything, so whatever they said, that had to be the truth. Fogged up glasses, trying to see things just slightly off. The devil is smart. He doesn't go, boo. We'd all go, boo. It's the devil, right? No, he comes in sneaky. Hey, you're suffering this way because God's trying to teach you something. You have this in your life because God isn't really there for you. These little voices that come in, and they're telling you something. And you know what we do? We go, oh, maybe that's true. Maybe that's, oh, I do remember my great aunt telling me that she felt like the Lord gave her that. She had, that was her burden to carry. Do you see how we start connecting the dots and the fog and the dirt? It doesn't go away and we keep building on it to the point of Everly's glasses and you just can't see the truth anymore. And you wonder why some people don't want to become Christians. Because if we're telling them everything that we can see through our fog, dirty glasses, it's not going to paint a picture of someone they want to come to, right? I want you to be a Christian because he's the guy upstairs with a bat ready to hit you as soon as you do something wrong. And guess what? Sickness might be coming your way. That's how he teaches his lessons. Get ready to lose all your money. You're going to be poor for Jesus. Do you see this? I mean, it's kind of comical, really, when you start thinking about it, about these untruths that the enemy sends. Why? To kill, to steal, and destroy. He doesn't want you to know the fullness of God's love. He doesn't want you to see clearly what God has for you. Why? Because then you would know you were being robbed. You would know you were being stolen from. You would know who the true culprit is. Right? He doesn't want that. And so we have to make sure that we clean our glasses. Now, I have a very technical way of cleaning glasses in our home. I do the same thing every time, and it works every single time, so it's proven to be true. I take the glasses, I go over, I put a little speck of Dawn dish soap on each lens. I get the water to where it's running hot. It's supposed to be hot. I learned this from our eye doctor. And then I rub it around very gently on the back and then on the front, and then I run all the Dawn off, and then I pat it off with a paper towel on the frames. Thank you. Not the glasses. Please do not use paper towels on glasses. I've learned the hard way that makes scratches. But I have a special cloth now that I take, and then I remove all the excess water, and you kind of shine it up and you hold it up, and lo and behold, we are sparkling clean, right? It was the most amazing thing. When I cleaned her glasses and gave them back to her, she went, oh, I can see now. Well, yes, yes. I think that was the day that Ella said, you know what? I think you might need to do mine too. And Lane came in and he's like, here, I haven't done mine either for a while. It was like glass cleaning day. But the same thing is true for us spiritually. I love God. He's very practical. And I think as women, sometimes we need the practical to remember, right? So this is a three easy step process. First, we need to have dawn. We need to have a light come on in our lives. Ephesians 1:18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened that you may know. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened, opened up. All of a sudden, oh, wow, I can see. In John 8:12, it says, once again, Jesus spoke to the people and he says, I am the light of the world. We need that dawn, that moment where you realize, wait a minute, that can't be true. Or you read something in your Bible that says, by his stripes, you are healed. Or my God shall supply all my needs. Or God so loved the world that he gave. What? He didn't take? He didn't demand? What? All of a sudden this light comes on. It's a dawning, not dawn for the dish soap, but a dawning. It dawned on me that this isn't the truth, right? And then we need the water. Water needs to be there so that it can wash us clean. Ephesians 5:26, and I love this because it's talking about the church, but it has a her reference. I was like, God, you're so good. It says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Wow. He has a plan for everything. He has his word that's the water we need to wash us clean, right? Because you don't want to leave the soap on there either. We don't want just to dawn on us. We want to be washed clean. And then a special cloth. I love this part. Anybody remember the story of the prodigal son? What was the very first thing that the dad did after he embraced him? What was the very first thing that he did to his son? Anybody remember? Say the second one. The robe. He placed a robe on him. And when I looked that up, this is what it says. It was a symbol of love and forgiveness. Love. Prodigal son story. He goes out. He spends all his money. Wastes away. Ends up working in a pigsty. And the light dawns on him. Ah, what am I doing here? I'm working with pigs. I'm a Jew. I'm not even supposed to be with pigs. And it dawns on him. The light comes on, right? And he says, I just need to go home. Even my dad's servants live better than I do. I'll go home. He prepares this whole spiel to give to his dad. And again, this is a parable that Jesus taught. A light should be dawning for us. Jesus is telling us about the heart of the father. Was this dad waiting at home with a stick? Just waiting for my kid to walk down that lane, smack him on the head. No, no, it says his dad was watching. Now, we look at Bible stories and so often we just go, his dad was sitting there watching for him to come down the lane, and we keep going. But the reality is, stop and think about this. He'd been gone a long time, but his dad was still watching. That's the heart of our father. He was still watching every day for this son. And then he sees his son. I can't even imagine the joy and just the level of emotion. When this dad sees his son, he doesn't wait for him to come to him. This is the heart of your dad. Now listen about this. This is the heart of your heavenly dad. He doesn't wait for you to come to him. That moment that you start to him, it says the father ran. He ran. There was a song when I was a young adult. It was called When God Ran. Benny, Steve would know. Hester, I think. Anyway, it's called When God Ran. And then he ran to me, took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home again. Lifted my eyes, wiped the tears from my face. That's the picture of our dad. He's not waiting for us. He's running to us as soon as we make that decision to come back. Amen? We'll talk about tomorrow. We won't get into it. But love is a choice. And God is not the kind of God. People say, well, why doesn't God just fix this? Why doesn't he just do this? Because if God did one area of fixing, he would have to fix absolutely everything, and then he would become in control of you and you would be robots. That's not his heart. He created you in his own image to love and be loved. He wanted us to love him out of choice, not out of demand. What kind of relationship would that be if our Heavenly Father demanded our love? I want you to love me. What do you do the first time someone does that to you? Wait a second. You don't get to tell me what to do, right? I mean, especially as girls. I don't think so. You know, some guy tells us, well, you know, it's like, there's the door. Go ahead. You know, that's not how God wanted it for us. It was a choice. And so there is a part we play. We do have to come home if we've been gone, like the prodigal son. I know I'm taking extra time, but somebody needs to hear this tonight. That God ran. He runs to us when we come home. And it says he embraced the son. He held him. Stop and think again. He doesn't smell pretty. He does not smell pretty. He has been living with pigs. When someone tells you you got to come to the Lord clean, you tell them, no, I don't. If you're talking with someone who says, well, I've got to fix my life, you tell them, no way. If a guy from the pig pen can get held by this Heavenly Father, you are fine. He'll take you right where you are, just as you are. It says he embraced him, and then he put a robe on him. He put a robe on him. It was a symbol of, I'm covering you in my love. I'm covering you in my love. You're covered. Why else would he need to be covered? Stop and think about the condition he was in, and he would have to walk back into his father's household to everyone who knew he'd been gone. It covered the sin. When people saw him, they didn't see where he'd come from. They only saw the love. Powerful, powerful thing. The special cloth that God has for us to help us keep our glasses clean is his robe. He puts it on us and he says, the past is gone. You're covered in my love. Powerful, powerful. Seeing God's love for me clearly. God is love. 1 John 4:16. And then we're going to take a very large step, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13 again. I want to read something to you, and I want you to listen. We've been talking about God is love, or God equals love, right? And it says in verse 4, God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy, he does not boast, and he is not proud. He does not dishonor others, which is rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no records of wrongs. Thank you, Jesus. He does not delight in evil, but he rejoices with the truth. He always protects. He always trusts. He always hopes. He always perseveres. God never fails. It's powerful when you think about this is the love God has for you. This is why it's so important that we keep our glasses clean so we can see truly what God's love is to us. If you're feeling like God's out there going, come on, just get it together. Or the enemy's making you feel that way. Well, God wants you to change. Hurry up and do it. Let me tell you, people will do that to you sometimes. But my word says, love is patient. That means God's patient. Because there's some things that you're going to go through in your life that he needs to be patient because it's a process. And guess who knows it's a process? God knows it's a process. Don't let people rush you through your process. Don't let them tell you, you need to speed this up. Come on. No, no, it's a process that God is walking you through, and he's patient. One of the things we're going to learn about tomorrow, I want to read this. I'm not going to read it tonight because it's in my yellow folder, but it's upstairs. I was trying to remember, there's a definition for what patience is, and I've never seen it before. That's what it was. Something along the lines of being willing to sit and wait until you're ready. Being willing to sit and wait until you're ready. It made me think about a story my dad was sharing. The Mishlers lost their, Randy lost his dad recently, and at the memorial service, I had gone up to Randy, and Randy and I have been friends, long time. Introduced me, my brother introduced us when we were 23, 24, 25, somewhere in there, so long time, before husbands and wives and kids, and I think about it now, and it's like, you know, God brings people into your life at certain times, you know, for a season, and anyway, I know how much Randy loved his dad. They were really close, and the Lord put it on my heart, and he said, I want you to tell him something. So I went up, and I gave him a hug, and I leaned back, and I said, you know what? If you need a dad, I'm willing to share mine. And right before that, my dad had given him a hug, and he started to get emotional, and he said, you know what? There's this whole room of people, but the only hug I wanted was your dad's. Wow. And it was just a powerful time, but my dad was sharing with me as we left. He said, I know I took some of Randy's time, you know, when he had other people waiting. He said, but I wanted to share with him a story. And it was this amazing story that really tells us even more about God's character. My dad was on a roof of a friend that Bob, Randy's dad, also knew, and he was putting up Christmas lights on this lady's house. He said, I was laying on the roof, and he said, probably not the safest thing to be doing. And he's like, but I was up there working on this roof, and he said, I heard something. And he said, I turned, and it was Bob. And he said, but it wasn't Bob. He said, it was one of those experiences in life, he said, where it's coming out someone's mouth, but it's not them. And he said, Bob said to him, I come to be with you. That's not a normal way of saying, I'm coming up here to help. He said, I come to be with you. And he said, Shelley, in that moment, he said, it was almost as if I had to look again to see if it was Bob. And he said, because it was like I had been on that roof praying. And he said, it was almost as if the presence of the Lord came with Bob. And he said, I come to be with you. I'm just going to be here with you. And that's a picture of who God is in our lives. When you're in a place in your life where you're maybe in a precarious situation, maybe it's a scary situation, maybe it's a situation that you don't even know what to do or how to handle it, your Heavenly Father is walking up saying, I've come to be with you. I'm just coming here to be with you. I'm here. Such an amazing insight into the presence and the love of God for our lives. He just wants to be with us. He wants to be with you. That's why we need to keep our glasses clean, so we can say he hasn't just created the world and left it spinning for us to figure it out on our own. No, he is there with us. He comes to be with you. Amen. And we can go through each thing, and you can see where, you know, love is not easily angered. God is not even, well, that just checks off the mark, and you're going to have to clean your glasses now and get some of that smudge off, because he's not up there with a bat. He's not waiting for you to make a mistake. He's not easily angered. You're going to have to do a lot to get him riled up, right? In fact, the only time that he gets riled up that you see is in Psalms. And David's talking about the wicked and how they just keep flourishing everything's going good for them, and this, and this, and this. And he says, but then God stood up, and everything changed for them, right? But he's not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. How many people have you talked to, and they think that God's up there, and he's remembering every single thing they've ever done, and there's no way that God will accept them because of all these things? Clean it off. Clean it off. He keeps no record of wrongs. That's not how it works. He always hopes. I love that part. He always hopes. He's always looking in eager expectation that you're going to turn around. He's always looking for the best. He's always looking for the best in you. Amen? Love never fails. I love that. I love that. But it's so different than we read when you read from the Hebrew in the Strong's Concordance. The picture here, love never fails. We think of failing someone. We think of, falling short. But in this case, it means to fall from somewhere higher to somewhere lower. So God never fails. He never stops being God. That's powerful to me. He doesn't stop being God and come down here. He doesn't drop. He stays the same. He stays the same. So powerful. And you can look through each one of these things and you can see another piece of who God is. God loves you. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving devotion. I have loved you with an everlasting love. It keeps going and going and going. See the little bunny across the bottom of your screen in the next commercial, right? And going and going. But his is infinity and beyond, as Buzz Lightyear would say. It just keeps going, right? John 3:16, I know that we hear this verse a lot, but for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And as Lindsay and I have been reading through, a lot of you know we've been reading through the Bible. It's a six-month thing, so you do a lot of Bible reading. But I've seen things that I've never seen before. And it's not like God just woke up one morning and said, I want my kids back. No. From the moment Adam fell in the garden, he was looking for a way back. He was already planning how to get us back. That's how much God loves us. He didn't wait for forever. He was working things together. He was organizing. He was strategically putting things in place so a Savior could come and make everything right and bring us back into fellowship. And you can see it. So often when we take a longer periods of time, you don't see the Bible like you do when you read it in 6 months. It's like, I'll read something and go, wait a minute, I read that back here. Same thing. Whoa, God said it twice. That's amazing, right? Powerful. But that's the one thing I see over and over and over in the scripture is that God was always working on the plan to bring us back to him. Always. Psalm 139, 13 and 14, we'll hear that a lot this weekend. It says, you formed me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and I know this very well. God loves you so much. He didn't just let things be naturally for you. There's a natural process for you to be conceived. He didn't even leave that alone. Stop and think about this. He was part of the knitting together process of you. He was so excited, so in love with you already. He was knitting you together in your mother's womb. Don't tell me God doesn't love you. Wipe it clean. It's not true. God loves you. We need to keep our glasses clean so we can clearly see God's love for us. No matter how hard we try in the natural, glasses get dirty. Things happen in life. And it's not like one of those things that you can come and just get your glasses clean one time. Everly can attest to that. I clean glasses a lot because there's always little things getting on them. And that's the same thing that's true with our lives. We have to be careful that a lot of times we'll come to the Lord and we'll get saved and our glasses get washed off. Woo! Wow! Look how clear everything is, right? But then things in life happen. Untruths come in. Life situations come in. Religious thinking comes in. A story from someone you hear comes in. And even though we know it's not true, it got spit on our glasses, our spiritual glasses. We have to make sure that we are always in the Word. I know you probably get tired of me saying that because I say it every Sunday. I say it every time we get together. But that is the most important thing. It says that we get washed through the Word. The Word is what washes us. We have to stay in the Bible. If you're reading your Bible, you're going to recognize when your glasses are not clear. It's going to dawn on you. Wait a minute. That can't be true because I've read the Bible and the Bible is the truth. Everything outside the Bible, everybody knows, it's always a little bit off, right? The one truth that you will always have is the Word of God. It will not change. It stays the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can rely on that. You can take it to the bank. It is done. Set deal. So if you're not in your Word, then you keep walking away farther and farther and farther. Bright lights, bright lights. Until you get over here and guess what happens? Life happens. Life doesn't stop just because you moved away. It keeps going. So the things keep getting on your glasses and you don't even recognize it anymore. And then you get over here and this is where you start going, God, why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this to me? Do you see this? Because you're not over there in the Word. If you're in the Word, you'd be washed daily. You would know, hey, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Someone's trying to steal my finances. It's not God. So devil, guess what? Take your hands off my finances. I am a daughter of the Most High. I am a tither and a giver. Says the Lord protects my stuff. This weapon formed against me, no weapon formed against me is going to. Do you see the difference? If you're over here and you don't have any Word and you got no dawn, you got no water, you got no special cloth, what do you clean your glasses with? Nothing. You are Everly. You are running around with fogged up, scratched, spit on, smudged on glasses, trying to see God's love over here, and it's not going to work. We have to stay over here in the Word, letting it wash us, letting it cleanse us. And that's why you came tonight. I believe with my whole heart. That's why you came. You came because you want to be closer with the Lord. Amen? You want God to transform your heart and your mind. And I will tell you the one thing that can do that. The Word. It will never fail. It brings things. It shows us things that we didn't know before. There was a verse that I've been learning recently. I stumbled upon it. Never seen it before. And this is, like I said, this is my second time in the year going through the Bible. Missed it the first time. But it says this: I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. World comes in, tries to take my kids. Uh-uh. I got a verse. I got a truth. You can't tell me. I'd already been praying over them. The kids always... I do pretty much the same prayer every day, but it's still powerful. A little different, you know, different variations. I think sometimes they get tired because it's long. But that's okay, because I figure you're covered in the morning, right? But one of the things I always pray over them when they go to school is, great will be the peace of my children, and all of my children will be taught of the Lord. So when they come home and say, well, I didn't understand this. Oh, no, 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 no. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And your mom already prayed for you today that the Lord's going to teach you. So we just need to pray about it and go back and learn this again because he's going to teach you what you need to know. Yeah. Amen? Now, we look at that as school. But if you are parents of older kids, guess what? It still applies to you. The Lord still will teach your children what they need to know. I remember when Luke was little, he struggled with reading. He was the only one out of three. Amazing thing is now, he's an amazing reader. But it took a lot of prayer. And I was struggling as a mom because it's number four, you know? I'm like, well, did I do something wrong? Did I? He just learned at a different rate. Different type of learner, right? He's amazing now. I mean, he does things in his mind that I'm like, how do you even remember that? He can quote these big old long things that he's seen or read. He just knows them, right? But when he was little, I didn't know the end, right? But I knew this. All my children will be taught of the Lord. So if there's something your kids are going through and they don't know, you know. Do you see the difference here? You have the truth, so you don't have to feel like, what do I do? I'm all alone. It's just up to me to fix everything. No, no. Clean your glasses. God's there. He's going to help you. We can trust him with our kids, with our finances, with our lives. Somebody say amen. Amen. And we have God's love. We have his love and his assurance. He's going to get us through this. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do life without his love. I don't want to do life without his love. Amen? Go ahead and close up your things. Let's go ahead and stand for a minute. Just want you to take a few minutes and just want you to think about the things that we talked about tonight. And just let the Lord just touch you. Just for a few minutes, we're just going to just be in his presence. I'm going to sing this song. I just want you to listen to who your Father is.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night as you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Lord, we just thank you and we praise you tonight that you are a good Father, that you have good plans. We just thank you, Lord, for your presence. And that as we go out of here tonight, Father, that we would make sure that if there's something in our lives that needs to be cleaned, in our spiritual glasses, maybe there's a smudge that happened long, long time ago, and we've just lived with that smudge for years. Father, I just pray that tonight we'd let you clean it with the truth of your word. Maybe there was something that someone told us that was not true about who you are. I pray tonight, Father, that you remind us that you're the God who runs to us. And the first thing that you do is you put a robe on us, showing us your love. Whatever it is, Father, wherever there has been something that has taken away how we see you and the trueness, Father, of your love for us, I pray tonight that that would be removed. I pray for every woman here, Father, that you would just heal and restore their hearts. And Lord, I pray that they would begin to see you just like Everly, with clean, clear sight, able to see who you truly are in their lives. We just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your presence. Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Lacey, can you find this song one more time for us? Good, good Father. On the overhead.
I've heard thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night as you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Lord, you are perfect in all of your ways. To us, love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Yes, Lord, help us to remember that's who I am. A daughter who's loved by her heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for your love tonight. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for blessing the remainder of this evening as we hang out as sisters. I just pray, Father, that you would just bless our time together. Let your house, this house tonight, be filled with laughter. Because I know merry hearts do good like medicine. And we just thank you, Lord, for this time to be together with you and to be together with one another. And everyone said, amen. Whew. good to be in the house of the Lord, even if it's a hotel for the night, right? Amen.